Tonight I want us to chat through with everybody about sharpening up our prophetic gift. And I believe that everybody who's born again and spirit-filled can operate in the prophetic. The Bible talks about how we should eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. So every one of us can operate in it, and it's nothing really to be scared of. In fact, the word prophecy or the prophetic is not really prediction fulfillment, which we often see in the Old Testament. It's a New Testament gift. A prophet often talks about prediction fulfillment, but as general believers, we have the gift of prophecy. Doesn't mean we're predicting the future. We're just speaking into people's lives. And you can do that realistically in all manners. You don't have to say, thus says the Lord, or God says. You can just say, you know what, I really believe God would say this to you. In fact, sometimes you can encourage people without actually saying, God says, and it can still be prophetic. You're speaking words into their lives. And it's good that we do that because it's encouraging. I mean, let's face it, we all like it when God says something to us from somebody we don't know, and it kind of adds meaning and value to our lives. But tonight, I just need to talk about being sharpened up, because everything that we say, I say, or you as a person, if it's going to be prophetic, should line up with the Word of God. It should be sharpened by the Word of God, and laid aside the Word of God. The Word of God is like the spirit. We used to call it the plumb line, but nobody knows what that is. The Word of God now is like a spirit level. It tells us what's true, what's level, what's spot on. You see, the only time a spirit level's wrong is if it's broken or frozen. We used to accuse some of the bricklayers of having spirit levels that were frozen, so the bubble stayed in the middle at all times, no matter which way it went. But the Word of God to us is like the plumb line, the spirit level, that tells us what's true. Because in this day and age we're living in, many people are saying this is the truth, this is the right thing, and at the end of the day, there's much confusion, but the Word of God still stands. Now, I'm not here to argue or justify the Bible, because many people have tried to argue that the Bible is of no value and worthless, and yet it stood for at least the last 2,000 years anyway, or at least the last 1,900 since it's been put together. I trust in the Word of God because I've found it true over the last 30 years of studying it. Some people say to me, there's contradictions in the Bible. Well, I say to them, well, show me where they are and let's talk about it. Because they can't. Often they talk about, well, the Bible says an eye for an eye and turn the cheek. And I'll say, well, let's look at that. Let's dig into that. This is what the Bible says about itself, or at least Paul says concerning what was the Old Testament plus some of the New Testament that was coming together. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all the Bible, all Scripture, is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You see, the entire Bible is useful for A, teaching, B, rebuking. We don't like being on the end of that one, do we? When somebody uses the verse from the Bible to actually rebuke us, to correct us and train us in all righteousness. The Bible is useful for equipping you, building you up and strengthening you. The Bible is a solid thing to stand upon. It was written by at least 40 people. I've talked about this before, but it was written by at least 40 people over about 1,800 years, or give or take a little bit, and yet it's still consistent. I mean, if you get three people to write down a paragraph in a story, it's not going to be consistent. And yet there's over 40 people written parts of throughout the Bible, and it's all consistent. There's even a chapter in the Bible that was written by a pagan king. And that's got you all going, well, ooh, God breathed? Yeah, it's God breathed, and it's in the Bible, and yet a pagan king put it. I'm just wondering how many people's gone on to try and find the cheeky bits in the Bible that I mentioned this morning. It's worth checking out for yourself. During the Bible, there's actually, in Job especially, it talks about what we would describe as dinosaurs. But in the Bible, up till recently, a discovery, in Job it talks about who holds the belt of Orion and the Pleiades together, the stars, Pleiades. It's only recently where we've realized, the scientists have realized, that those stars in the Pleiades have a gravitational pull upon themselves, and the belt of Orion has a gravitational effect on each other. How did Job know that if it wasn't the fact that God says, how do you know, mate? In fact, there's loads of questions that God asks there. But the Bible says that all scriptures God breathed. The Message version of the Bible puts it this way. Every part of the Bible is God-breathed and is useful in one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, and training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we can put together and sharpen up for the task that God has for us. Through the Bible, it equips us and builds us. And especially if you're going to operate in the prophetic, you need to know the Word of God, because over the years, you and I have probably heard some real corkers, words of God, that are completely off the wall. I heard somebody many, many years ago, it was in a church a long time ago, that said, I believe God's saying is going to drive up in an ice cream van and it's going to jump over the wall and feed people ice cream, and then it's going to jump into another field and do it. And we're all going, an ice cream van, you know what I mean? And he's going to give 99s to people, and we're all going, an ice cream van. That was just totally weird, and somebody was probably had too much caffeine or something like that. So we need to sharpen up our experience of the Word of God, so that if God's going to use us prophetically, we're going to match it with the Word of God. You see, it's okay having a gift from God, because God gives gifts out, but you need to grow maturity to operate in those gifts. So if you're taking notes, point one I've put down is God's Word is our priority. You see, it's okay whatever's going on in life, but we need God's Word to be our priority, because the God's Word is actually what gives us a foundation. It's what builds our character. It makes us stable and it makes us solid. You see, people try to argue the Word of God with me, and I say, actually, I do know it, or at least a little bit, and I can stand my ground on it. And over the years, I've realized that it's all right from beginning to the end. I've put it to the test. I've proven the fact that God is true through His Word. Everything should be our, God's Word should be our priority. Do you know that everything in God's economy starts with a word? I don't mean thus says the Lord, but a spoken word. Right at the beginning, Genesis, before anything, in Genesis 1 verse 3, we read these words, let there be light. Or if you're into the Hebrew, light be. And there was. Nothing's ever happened without God speaking. That's why I say you've got to be careful what you speak over your own lives. Because there's power in our words. If you speak negativity all the time over your life, then don't be too concerned if you all you ever see is negativity. If speak something of the Word of God into our lives. In fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 4:4. This is when Jesus was being tempted. The devil came to him and said, turn these stones into bread, because he were hungry after 40 days, I reckon so. And Jesus says this to him, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, many of us are concerned over being fed by bread, or pizza, or whatever else the modern version might put it into. In other words, man does not live by food alone. We need food. That fills our physical being. But he said, by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Because food that comes from the mouth of God, the Word of God, actually feeds our spirit. We need food to live physically, but we also need the Word of God to make our spirit come alive. The Bible puts it this way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the words of Christ. If you're not feeding the Word of God in, faith will not be arising in your heart. So on the one side, your spirit needs a Word of God to grow and develop. On the far side, you have food which sustains your outside body, and in the middle is your mind. And guess what happens if you feed only one? Your mind will tend to go towards the flesh, but if you feed your spirit, your mind will go towards your spirit. And the battlefield is up here. And if you don't believe me, try fasting. Your body freaks out, but your spirit will soar. in God. So man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Our bodies need food, and our spirit needs the word of God. We need words from the Bible, verses, sentences from the Bible. That's going to encourage us. So if I say this one, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Does anybody know where that is? John 10:10. I mean, I love that one. He has come that he might give us life and life to the full. And yet some of us still look like we're dead. Life to the full. Amazing life at that. I do like the King James, life in abundant, or the Pepsi version of the Bible, life to the max. That's the best one. Another verse, this is in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. You don't understand, Johnny, I feel so alone. Well, Jesus said he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. I think that's pretty good. Another verse in John, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Wow. I mean, if you read what Jesus did, that's John 14:12. Truly I say to you, said Jesus, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. It kind of, if you follow that trend of thought, it would indicate that if we don't do the things that Jesus did, then we don't believe in him. Is that taking it too far? Or is that just logical to me? But it does say, those who believe in me will do the works I've been doing. What did Jesus do? Well, you can read it for yourself, can't you? And we can do the same. Another verse in the Bible, I said it this morning, that if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I'm not saying this. This is what's in the Bible. These are things that are in there. So we need to make the word of God our priority. In fact, some people talk about the fact that they will not eat food without reading the word of God, because spiritual food is more important than the physical food. I mean, some of us could survive without food for a while. Others could not. It's interesting that Smith Wigglesworth, a guy that operated in spiritual things in the 1930s and 40s, he actually says that he wouldn't go, 20 minutes without reading his Bible, unless he were asleep. Halfway through dinner, he would stop and start reading his Bible. Sometimes he'd go into prayer. People would go around for lunch and thinking, give me the food. He'd be praying. And you just wonder, he operated at that level. Maybe it had something to do with it. So the second thing I put, so we need to make the word of God our priorities. But the second point is we need to renew our minds. And I'm not going to jump into this too much because we've preached about this so many times. But Romans 12 verse 2, a verse that you're very familiar with. Don't conform to this pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, his pleasing, and perfect will. Let's not be conformed to the pattern of this world, what the people say, what people around us say, what society says, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and then we'll be able to test God's will for our lives. Again, if we're feeding our spirit, it will transform our minds, but if we feed our stomachs, it will only make us crave for other things. So we need to feed our spirit, which is through the word of God, and then we'll have transformed lives. We need to become more like Jesus, the Bible says. And I don't think that means grow a beard. I know some ladies try as they get older, but it doesn't kind of work. And some men, I mean, Jesus always had long hair, so I've lost it there, haven't I? I mean, it's gone, so. And I say it's gone. It's just very shallow on top. I think it's because when I was growing up, I grew up really fast and I kept bumping my head. No, I'm not Malcolm, you know. So we need to renew our minds. Third thing I've put is we need to speak the word. You know, I really love it when people say things from the Bible. I've got a friend and I can't wait while he sorts himself out with God. He's gone away from God, but I look forward to the day because he was one of those guys where whenever we'd meet, he'd always say, Johnny, I've been reading this. And we'd chat about the Word of God. I love it when people ask me questions, not because they want to know, just we want to talk about it. I love people who just want to talk about the Word of God and unpack it and discuss it. Even those controversial things, not as an argument, not to prove a point, but just want to chat through and see what each other thinks. I love that sort of thing. In Joshua 1, verse 8, it says, study this book, talking about the Bible, this book of instructions continually, meditate on it day and night, so you will be able to, so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. So Joshua wrote down that if we study the Word of God and meditate on it night and day, that we will prosper and succeed in everything we do. It is interesting, you know, that when you look at some of the great companies around the world, if I said Colgate, he does other products as well, but that guy was a Christian who set Colgate up. He actually took over the company and made it succeed, and he actually believed in reading the Word of God. He also believed in tithing, that's another story. But he believed in studying the Word of God for business sense. He read the Bible to get the business of God so his business will succeed, and it has. The guy who Quaker Oats, he was another Christian. Same principle, believed in the Word of God for business ideas, and his business succeeded. In fact, he's dead now, but his business still exists. Roundtree's, another Christian, business from the Word of God. There's hundreds of companies that when you track them back, you'll find out it was a believer that set it up on the principles of the Word of God. Eddie Stoppard, he's no longer in charge of it, but it succeeded because he took the principles of the Word of God, of integrity, and built a business. I think that's amazing. Schools originally used the Word of God not to beat people with, but as an instruction to set standards. And let's say the educational system in our nation at one point was amazing and stood out from the rest of the world because it stood on the Word of God. Now we've allowed secularism to come in, and it's some schools are doing great and some are not, because they've taken the Word of God out of the centre of all things. In fact, I'm part of that generation where I remember going into assemblies to sing in high school, and they stopped it when I was at high school. Then they took the reading of the Word of God out of it. And let's face it, I don't know if grades have got better or worse over the years, but you'll know where they've gone. So we need to meditate on it day and night. When Jesus was speaking to the devil, he said, it is written. It's interesting that Jesus never said, thus says the Lord to the devil. He never said, when arguing with the devil, he never actually went for him and said, I believe. He said, it is written. He used the Bible. I mean, Jesus could have spoke anything, and it's true. But he didn't. He just says, it is written. It is written. That's why in Ephesians, we read these verses where it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When we're under attack, we need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible, and we need to start saying, it is written. Sometimes we need to say to our own body, it is written. I remind myself often, it is written, Psalm 103, and I read it to myself. Maybe you need to start looking at the Bible and start saying, it is written, not I think, I believe, but start saying, it is written. In Revelation 2:16, it says this, Jesus speaking to the church, he says, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against you with the sword of my mouth. So he's talking to the devil going, it is written, but he also says to the church that was stepping out of line and not doing what he told it to do, but I will come and fight against you. What with? The word of his mouth, the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible will actually, it says that it divides, joint and marrow, the soul and the spirit. The Word of God actually divides things, and it also unites things. So let us become familiar with the truth and speak it with our mouths. So the fourth thing I put down here is let the Bible speak to you. Let the Bible speak to you. I don't know if you've ever been there. I mean, I've said this before, but I remember the first time I read Isaiah 53. And I was so blown away by it. I went to the house group and told them that this is amazing. This is Old Testament talking about Jesus. And I was really excited about it. I'd found something in the Old Testament. And they all sat there nodding, going, wow. And looking back, they all knew. But they were so loving and gracious because I'd found something in the Bible talking about Jesus' death. And I was really amazed by it. But then later on, I started reading things and I got into Romans and Proverbs. And that's the verses I read that spoke to me. The verses I read that God, it was almost like God was going, shouting out of the Bible. We're opening a book and it was speaking to me in a situation. I mean, if you're a bit upset, a bit depressed, you can read some of the Psalms and it's almost like God's on a megaphone shouting at you. In the Psalms, they're good. If you need wisdom, read Proverbs. If you need encouraging, read Romans 8. There's all these things that you can dig out of the Bible, and it's good that we do it. So we need to let the Bible speak to us. As I said already, you know, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We need to, a good lesson, good habit to get into is when you open your Bible, say to God, speak to me. Speak to me. In fact, I was listening to Bill Johnson recently, and he says, read the Bible until God speaks to you, which is kind of good if you're quite new to the Bible, because it won't take long before you read it and God speaks to you. But if you've actually read the Bible a number of times, it can take a while. That's why my favorite Bible is the NIV. I know it's got limitations, but that's my favorite Bible because I understand it. But sometimes I use the English Standard if I'm reading. Sometimes I read the New King James. Sometimes I even do the King James. That's interesting. But sometimes I read the New Living Translation. And I've got to read a different version of the Bible because I'm so used to the NIV. And I want it to speak to me. So sometimes it's worth checking out a different version. But it's also just worth checking out reading it yourself. Read parts of the Bible you've never read before. I mean, stay out of Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers for a while. You know what I mean? Stay in the New Testament and see what God says to you. Because I believe that if God can speak to me through the Word of God, and I'm not any more special than any of you, He can speak to you through the Word of God. Now, sometimes it's good to have a pastor, a preacher, who in a sense brings teaching or brings direction, but you can go yourself. Which I like, because you don't have to just all listen to me. You can go investigate it for yourself. So let the Bible speak to you. 2 Timothy 3:17 says this, God uses it, talking about the Word of God, to prepare His people to do every good work. The Bible is something that God will use to prepare you to do awesome works for Him. Last sheet. I did make it big, so there's not much. All right, so last point, Point five, I've got 6 points. Point five, keep reading, I've put down here. You know, when reading the Bible, it is good to ask a few questions. Read the Bible and ask some questions. I tend to ask the question. I'm a little bit different. Or if you're somebody who writes or reads the Bible sometimes to put a sermon together, sometimes I read the Bible and I'm thinking of you guys. Sometimes I'm reading the Bible and I'm thinking of me. Sometimes I'm reading the Bible and God reminds me in both ways. I try to think out what God wants to speak to you guys without bringing a negativity into it, but trying to see what God's saying positively to us, and then I read it for myself. So when you're reading the Bible, do think about these things. Ask the question, what does it mean? That's why I say keep out of. I mean, if you do have any great theological questions, I mean, if you've really got some awkward questions, I mean, talk to David, date back. I mean, he's a theologian, he'll unpack it. And if he's struggling, ask Ian, you know what I mean? Turner. He'll sort you out. If you really are, we won't go there. But what I'm saying is, there are some people who's been around maybe a bit longer than others. And they are, I mean, I'm being facetious, but at the end of the day, you know, there's a number of people in the church who have unpacked the Bible a little bit, and there are people you can, and David's one at the back there, that you can actually just ask a few questions about, or just, not ask a question, but discuss things. I always say, What's it mean? What's it really there for? Everything in the Bible, I believe, is there for a reason. Second question you can ask yourself is, what am I reading? What does it say about God? What's it saying about God? Because I read all through the Bible and I see the goodness of God. Well, what about the flood? Well, I see the goodness of God. Well, what about when he said, wipe out that nation? I see the goodness of God. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? Is that the goodness of God? Well, if you see the context, you'll see it's the goodness of God and how awesome and loving he is. He wasn't loving towards those people said. No, he was loving towards the nations around him because of what they were up to. So ask the question, what does it say about God? Another question to ask, what is God saying to me? What's God saying to me? I mean, you get into some genealogies. That's pretty hard to know what God's saying to you. Maybe it's just that God's generational. Who knows? And then another question to ask is, what should I do about what I've just read? What should I do about what I've just read? That's an interesting one. So Psalm 1, actually, I love Psalm 1. Many, many years ago, I rapped this psalm in church, and it was quite good. And I also did a little rap in there, which I nicked from a program called Red Dwarf, but that's another thing altogether. It says this, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with the mockers." This is the New Living Translation. "But they delight in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in season. Their leaves never fail, and they prosper in all they do." There's several things in the Bible, several common themes come through, but the more you get into the Word of God, you will prosper. Now, without jumping into a great theological thing, it means more. If people think prospering is money, then they're not understanding prosperity in its truest sense. It means prospering all things. Prospering wisdom, prospering knowledge, prospering all, you know, prospering your family. It's a good one, isn't it? But God wants us to meditate on the Word of God and think about it day and night. Meditation's a naughty word, people think, within church circles, but it's not. Meditate just means think about it. It don't mean you sit cross-legged going, hum. You think about the Word of God. I like going to bed reading the Bible sometimes, thinking about the Word of God, and then I wake up thinking about it. Saturday night's awful sometimes because I've got the sermon in my head, and I usually wake up in the middle of the night several times preaching in my mind. Last night was a bit different because I got a battle going on. I was actually dreaming about battling something, and I kept waking up going, I need to take every thought captive because I've got a sermon to think about. So in my mind while I'm asleep, I'm fighting thoughts while trying to think about the sermon for this morning. So even I have these ups and downs. But we need to think on the Word of God and meditate on it day and night. Think about it. So the last thing I put down here is the Bible is full of hidden treasures. The Bible is full of hidden treasures. You see, there's times where you can ask somebody something. A pastor friend of mine used to say, I used to ask him questions, and he used to go, why don't you go and read? And he'd name a little bit from the Bible. And he'd say, just tell me the answer. And he'd say, no, go discover it for yourself. But he'd give me some guidelines, because discovering something for yourself means you learn it. Anybody who's tried teaching people something, if you tell them the answer, they get it right, and that's okay. They pass the test and move on. But if they discover it for themselves, they'll never forget about it. They'll never forget. I remember going climbing years ago, and one rule of climbing is never let go of your rope, especially when you're up a cliff face. And I untied my rope, because I had to get it through a loop, and it was an awkward situation. And I did the one thing you should never do. A, I undid my rope, and the weight of the rope just took it. It gone. Dropped down the cliff, and off it gone. I went back down and found it later on. But I'm on a cliff face with no rope. I've never done that again. Because I learned. I learned my lesson. You see, there's hidden treasures in the Bible for you to discover. And also, the Bible says this, Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. You don't want to sin against God. Well, the Bible talks about that. If you put the word of God in, you won't. I've often questioned that and thought, well, what's that really mean? Well, if I'm thinking about the word of God, I'm not thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking about. If I'm thinking about God and thinking about the word of God, then knowing that it gives me the power not to sin means I don't have to sin. Thinking on God. John 15, a verse where I've already said, and I mentioned this morning, I would say to anybody, no, John 15, verse 7, and you would all say to me with great joy, yes, we remember. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, if you remain in me and my word remains in you. The Bible's full of great promises, but often those promises are conditional to the little bit before or after. Conditional to the word of God, conditional to having the word of God, conditioned to knowing the word of God. Most people can quote different verses from the Bible, and I like it when people do. But sometimes it's interesting to listen to them quote a verse, and I think, well, have you read the one in front? Have you read that little one there? I'm not, you know, I have no tattoos on my body, and I don't really like them, more for the fact that my dad had them from his, he has them from his hands up, right the way up, and on his neck and stuff like that. And he's at that age where they go in a funny colour and they don't look nice. And, you know, it's up to him. Personally, I'm not into it, but somebody asked about having a tattoo, and somebody piped up, it says in the Bible you shouldn't have a tattoo. What do you think, Pastor Johnny? Well, actually, I didn't think anything. I said, to what? The fact that they want a tattoo, or the fact that you know the bit in Deuteronomy? He said, well, it does say it, doesn't it? I said, actually, yeah, you're right, it does. But it also says, the verse before or after it, because I want that smart, it says, don't cut the sides of your hair. I said, it's just a thought. You've got short sides. I mean, it was almost like, don't beat somebody with the word of God. If somebody wants that, then realistically, I don't. But it's such a, I've got to be careful what I say here, because Alfie is going, can we have a tattoo? Can we have one? I ain't going to say anything. You know, the Bible says certain stuff about certain things and other things it's not, so I say it's personal preference. I do remember a certain lady in the Second World War that liked men with tattoos. She used to kill them and skin them and put them round lampshades. So, yeah, that is true, by the way. She was the wife of a commandant in a concentration camp and used to take tattoos off people and put them on lampshades. I mean, such people. The reason I never did have them is because I never wanted to be identified by anybody else. When I was getting, you know, running away from someone, I didn't say, well, he's got a tattoo on his neck or on his arm. They couldn't identify me. I once used to have long hair, and someone said the person who did it had long hair, so I had short hair the next day. It's reasonable, isn't it? You know what I mean? It wasn't me. In fact, I used to have different aliases even at school. So when people thought, oh, it was so-and-so that said that, we once went into a Chinese, didn't we, Joe? And this guy says to us, how you doing, Paul? And Joe looks at me, I go, because he remembers at school, because I was one of the aliases. So when he said, oh, it was Paul that did it, teachers all knew me as Johnny, John, and they didn't put two and two together. It was just me. So, don't know how we got onto that, but I will say this. With us all, let's remain in Jesus. That means let us keep him as our priority and let his words stay in us. Let's think about it day and night. Let's ponder on the word of God. Let's see if God can speak to you through his Bible, through the word, to you. I think that'd be good. I would rather people come up to me saying, God said this to me in the Bible. I think that'd be really good. Then I'm starving. Can you feed me? Can you feed us the word of God? I prefer people to grow up and actually start eating the word of God for themselves. Not that I'm doing away with Sundays, but I think it'd be good. Amen. Amen. You're all still thinking of tattoos, aren't you?